Well, good evening, and it's clear that you know what to do to spread the love around. So, welcome. I'm Dave Troutman, the pastor of Care Ministry, and it's good to be together on this, our Lenten Wednesday reflection. It was 21 years ago this month that Sherry and I contemplated moving our family from the St. Paul side of the Twin Cities to Chanhassen to join Westwood staff. For several months prior to that decision, we sensed a pending change, and yet we had no specific plans. About a month earlier, I had conversation with a church in Michigan, but nothing really materialized. And so at the time, our older boys were age 8 and age 6, and Sherry was 6 months pregnant with our youngest son, Mark. So we decided we'd just renew our commitment to where we were, and we'd do a little remodeling on our small home. And so that particular day in March, my father-in-law and I were in the downstairs ready to swing a hammer and start to demolish this room and begin to rebuild. And the phone rang, and I got a call from Pastor Joel Johnson from Westwood Church. And that was a kind of a providential timing. I went back downstairs and said to my father-in-law, well, let's just wait a little bit. We never swung a hammer. We didn't finish the remodeling project. And it's been a great adventure since then. And honestly, it was a definite fork in the road, a new challenge to trust Christ and follow where he seemed to be leading. And I admit I was more than a little bit excited and afraid at the same time. I needed more to convince me that God was leading than Yogi Berra's whimsical advice. You know, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. We needed to hear from God. We needed to be prepared for what he was about to do in and through our lives. We needed to be willing to turn from life as we had known it and enter into following Christ. Fortunately, it's not often that God calls us, you and I, to uproot our personal or family lives to that extent. And yet every day we're expected to love the Lord above all else and be willing to follow. And these 40 days of Lent provide us with the opportunity to listen, to respond, to prepare oneself for something that God would desire to do in and through us. And so Lent is the 40-day period before we celebrate the resurrection. And the number 40 has tremendous spiritual significance in the Bible in terms of preparing oneself for something that God is about to do. 40 days, Moses prepared himself to receive the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Elijah walked 40 days and 40 nights to the Mount of the Lord, preparing himself to receive new direction to follow God's will. And Jesus fasted and prayed 40 days and 40 nights in the desert before entering his public ministry. So there is a precedent in the Bible for a 40-day period of preparation for something that God would desire to do. And there's precedent going back to the earliest days of the Christian church in preparing oneself for Easter and for Holy Week by entering into a period of fasting and other spiritual disciplines. In a very practical sense, Lent is this period of spiritual spring cleaning, where we ready one's heart and one's life for God to do something he desires to do, to bring us into a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. And this Lenten series, our reflections stem from Jesus' invitation conveyed in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus says, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." And Jesus signals a definite fork in the road, one that calls for a deliberate daily response of loyalty on the part of those who would follow him. His words make clear the conditions of discipleship. Namely, there are three of them: to deny self, take up one's cross daily, and follow him. Jesus calls us beyond mere belief to actually becoming increasingly more and more like him in our daily attitudes and our actions. You see, it's true that you and I, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's equally true that we are to grow in grace, to become more and more like Jesus in our everyday actions and attitudes. And the way that we grow to become more like Jesus is by accepting for ourselves the very same conditions he embraced on our behalf. You see, to follow Jesus is to accept for oneself the same conditions he embraced on our behalf, namely self-denial, for the sake of loving others and the glory of God. And so we need God's grace to transform us, to change our self-willed orientation to follow Jesus. Truth be told, the condition of self in my life, and I think it's probably common to us, can be summed up in this way. I like things my way. And I like my things. And by the way, I may like your things too. And in the weeks ahead, we'll consider the conditions that are expected of Jesus' followers, and we'll wrestle with the ashes of our sinful self and what's required of us by God's grace to turn to God, love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. This evening, I want to share a few reflections on Jesus' words in Luke 9:23, if any want. And I would suggest a few reasons why a person would or may want to follow Jesus. I want us to trace the promises that Jesus makes to those who choose to repent and turn to God. In short, I want to share with you why I have decided to follow Jesus. Here's a bit of context. Jesus in Luke chapter 9, is his popularity is trending. If I had a hashtag, it would be hashtag Jesus, you're the man. Because Luke chapter 9, the crowds are swelling with anticipation and excitement because of Jesus' compassion and his miraculous deeds. As word spreads, the crowd swell to more than 5,000. And Jesus seeks to withdraw to a quiet place with his apostles, and still the crowds pursue him. And you remember the occasion of this great miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they picked up leftovers. And in that crowd, there were notions about Jesus' identity and mission, and they were varied, and they were unclear, and it really prompted Jesus to poll his disciples in private and ask them, who do the crowds say that I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others that one of the prophets long ago has come back to life. But Jesus said, who do you say I am? Peter answered, God's Messiah. And then he strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And then widening his audience to include others, Jesus presented the fork in the road. He said to them all, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. You see, Jesus' words to his disciples and the crowd, they presented this fork in the road, and they were conditioned based upon the path that Jesus himself chose. You see, to accept this condition of following Jesus is to accept for oneself the same conditions that Jesus embraced on our behalf. And why might a person want to respond to Jesus' invitation to follow him? I'll share 3 reasons why I've decided to follow Jesus, and I think they're directly tied to the promises that Jesus provides his followers. And to trace these promises, we have to go a little bit beyond verse 23. Beyond the conditions of discipleship, we have to listen to the powerful truth of Jesus' logic in verses 24 and 25. He says this, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Why might a person want to follow Jesus? We'll trace the powerful logic and promise of Jesus' words. because following Jesus frees us from futile attempts to save ourselves. Dispels the myth of manageability and control. It severs the impulse of worry, all of which is associated with this idea that somehow if I run fast enough, if I work hard enough, I can save myself. And Jesus says, as a follower of Christ, you're free of that. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me, he says, they will save it. See, I like things my way, right? That's the condition of self. And that engenders this sense of control and worry. Both are hindrances to our walk with Christ. Amy Simpson, who in fact is going to be with us in May, she suggests that worry is woven in the very fabric of society and at times within our own spirituality. In her book, Anxious, she writes, "My experience tells me that most Christians are as worried as everyone else and as convinced that a certain amount of worry is a good thing, as long as it doesn't betray our trust in God over the big things." See, worry has almost become fashionable. It's sort of a way that we demonstrate that we're concerned, that we're seeking to be engaged in some way. She suggests that worry may even slip into the way in which we pray. We sometimes worry in our actual prayers, not really praying, but simply reciting our worries to God without surrender or faith. We bring our requests to God, tell him about all that's weighing on us, worrying before him. Then we walk away and continue to worry, hoping now God is worried too, now that we've filled him in, but also worrying that he won't resolve our concerns in the way that we hope for. She says we often miss the step of allowing prayer to settle us back into our appropriate place in the universe, affirming God's sovereignty and trusting him. See, I battle with this sense of self, this myth of manageability and this sense that if I worry, it might actually accomplish something. And you remember Jesus' words, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his or her life?" I think we were called upon to memorize this verse and then more than that, to live it out. "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worry for itself. Each day has trouble of its own." Well, that's one reason, because it severs worry and control when I choose to follow Jesus. Secondly, because following Jesus reminds us to value what matters most, namely our souls and the soul of the other. See, Jesus says, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" Jesus' logic makes perfect sense when he cautions us to trade what is of lasting value for what is fleeting and of earthly value. C.S. Lewis says it this way, "Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll lose both." See, remember the condition of self. I like my things. At times I tend to accumulate more things. Moreover, I may find myself liking the things of others too. It's called envy. It at times leads to resentment. And you see how envy and resentment, like worry, they start to hinder our relationship with Christ. And these things, this tendency to like things inordinately, tends to generate when I'm out of touch with what matters most, namely the well-being of my soul and the inner workings of God's Spirit. You might recall Esau, the elder son of Isaac. He sold his birthright to his younger brother Jacob for a bowl of soup. And the principle is, don't let short-term appetite ruin God's long-term call on one's life. See, why trade what is of lasting value for a few fleeting moments of self-indulgence? Nothing is of greater value than one's soul and that of the other. And I may mistakenly value the things of this world more than my very self. And so envy and resentment can hinder our walk with Christ, which is one of those spring cleaning things that we need removed by grace. The call is to love people, to nurture relationships with Christ and others in ways that influence one another to respond to Jesus' call to follow him. And so for me to deny self, I must value most what matters and foster meaningful relationships with Christ and others. Finally, why would I choose to follow Jesus? Because following Jesus leads me to the cross. Not so much my daily cross, but the cross. The cross which Jesus freely embraced for each of us. When I choose to follow Jesus, I'm led to the cross. And from the cross flows grace and forgiveness. And from the cross flows grace and love, to love as Jesus loved. And from the cross flows grace and hope, the certainty and expectation of knowing and being known by God. In the past 2 weeks, I've met with 3 people, each one having heard Jesus' invitation and being confronted with this fork in the road, this call to follow Jesus. One who lives with painful regret and sadness, desiring to know forgiveness and the path of healing. One in his old age with real concerns about death and the life after, desiring to know peace and the certainty of a future. And one in the last few days of her life, whose very first words to me when I sat down with her and we began to speak of the end of this long battle she's faced with cancer. She's in a place where one of the muscles in her eyelid doesn't function anymore, and so she has to lift it this way. And with lifted eyelid, she said to me, "I'm so excited for heaven and to see Jesus." And I've been with these 3 people in these different places and considered this call to follow Jesus and wondered, why would any want to follow Jesus? Because there's grace and forgiveness. Because from the cross flows the love of God and the ability to love others. And from the cross flows this hope and this certainty of one day being face to face with Jesus himself. And so following Jesus leads us to the cross he freely and willingly embraced on our behalf. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you tonight and express in all humility our need of grace and mercy, of new expressions of the work of your Spirit, that we might increasingly be like you in attitude and action, that our lives might bear the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, that each and every day you would give us grace to say, yes, this day I will follow Jesus. We will be your followers, and we pray these things in your name.